Well, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Micah chapter 4. As we all turn to Micah chapter 4, I'll tell you a little story about what I did yesterday. Went to hang out with a buddy of mine in Gastonia, North Carolina. Dallas, North Carolina. He is a pastor at a church up there in Dallas, North Carolina. And he asked me for whatever reason, I'm not really sure why, but he did. He asked me to come speak at a conference that he had put on, and I gladly went, and it was a great time. But if you don't know anything about Dallas Baptist Church, a couple things you might want to know. First thing that really seems really important, as you walk in, I immediately recognized I was the youngest guy in the room by 55 years at least. And so, naturally, as I'm sitting at a table with Larry and Wayne and the other guy, I don't really know what his name was because he kind of talked funny. I couldn't really understand him. As I'm sitting at the table with these guys, there's not much to talk about. So, naturally, what I say, something along the lines of, how long you been going to church here? And I just took a step back because I knew that that was it. That's all I had to say because everybody in that church is 70, 80, and 90 years old, and they've all been going there since they were 10. So they just started talking. And as they started talking, I recognized that there was a lot of talk about the good old days. The good old days. The good old days. Guy told a story about how Charlotte Douglas Airport used to be a fraction of the size that it is currently in 1958. He remembered it. And he was talking about the good old days. Well, I would argue that there is no such thing as the good old days. Whether it be today, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 75 years ago, 200 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, there is no such thing as the good old days, brothers and sisters, because we're patiently waiting on the day. Look with me to Micah chapter 4, verse 1. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and the peoples shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us in his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide disputes for strong nations afar away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame, and gather those who have been driven away, and those whom I have afflicted. And the lame I will make the remnant, and those who were cast off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it shall come. The former dominion shall come. Kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that pain seized you like a woman in labor? Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you shall go out from the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. There you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Now many nations are assembled against you, saying, let her be defiled, and let her eyes gaze upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for For I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples, and shall devote their gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth. Now, muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. Pray with me. O Lord, your people come to hear from you. Teach us your word, O God, in Christ's name and for your sake and for your glory. Amen. So here we are in chapter 4 of Micah, kind of a crash course of where we've been. Chapter 1, God really establishes, this is who I am, this is what you've done. There's bad times coming. And you're going to go into exile. You're going into exile, Judah. You're going into exile, Jerusalem. And what that means is there's a nation coming. And they're going to destroy your city. And they're going to haul you off into prison. In chapter 2, we saw a little bit of why. Because the leaders of Jerusalem and the leaders of Judah have failed tremendously. And in chapter 3, we see just how those leaders fail. Which leaders fail? We see the judges, how they fail. We see the priests, how they fail. And we see the prophets and how they fail. And because of that, verse 12 is where we left last week. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. But really interestingly, this morning, we can draw comfort in our text. Why? Because the Lord didn't stop there. He continued. He continued. And while he's unhappy about how the leaders have poorly led, he doesn't stop there. Look with us in verse 1. It shall come to pass in the latter days. Well, what is it? What is it that you're talking about, Lord? What is the it that you're getting at? It is that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. So feel the wordplay that Micah gives, even in verse 12, the mountain of the house, a wooded height. And we drew out that that is the Lord giving the indictment that the temple of the Lord will be crushed. The temple of the Lord will be destroyed. And why that is important? Because the temple of the Lord holds the presence of God. And God says, without my presence, without the presence of the Spirit of the Lord, it's just a structure. You've made it just a structure. And so I'm going to crush it. And that's where we left off. The mountain of the house, a wooded height. Jerusalem's going to become a heap of ruins. Zion's going to be like a plowed field. But then chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1, God says, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. And it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Not just people, not just the people of Jerusalem, not just the people of Judah, not just the people of Israel, but peoples. And so, what the Lord is doing is saying two things. There are two things that the Lord is saying. There's two things going on in this text this morning, and we have to address them right now. It shall come to pass in the latter days. A lot of times this can be seen as the latter days. Like, not just the later days, but the latter days. That extra T means something. It's further down the line. And yet, the Lord promises that he's going to bring those that he sends into exile back. But this is even something further than that, brothers and sisters. It's not just God's people that are coming to the house of the Lord that is established as the highest of mountains and lifted up above the hills, not just his people, but many peoples. So what is the Lord doing this morning? We see that, first and foremost, the people are not living in the good old days. Those were not the good old days. Because their temple and their city and their place of living, the holy city of God, is going to be destroyed, and they're going to be sent to Babylon, where they will be slaves. It's not the good old days. In fact, as we've made our way through Micah 1, 2, and 3, I pray that you've seen, God has promised disaster. And yet, the good old days are coming, according to the Lord. The good old days are coming, and not just in the sense that they're coming back to the land, but there's a day down the line. There's a day on the way, brothers and sisters, that the Lord has in store. And I would argue this morning that it's still on the way. That day is still on the way. People shall flow to it, and many nations shall come to the mountain of the house of the Lord that is established as the highest of mountains and lifted above all hills. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn more anymore. There's a day on the way. These ain't the good old days, but the good old days are on the way. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Why? To the house of the God of Jacob. Why? That God Himself may teach us His ways. Understand what's happening. That God Himself may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. Because the priests are not doing their job. And although the priests aren't doing their job, the priests represent God wrongly, I should say. But that's not a reflection of God. Just because I can sing a Hank Williams Jr. song way out of tune and it sounds horrendous, that doesn't make Hank Williams Jr. a bad country music singer. And in the same way, the fact that these priests are wrongly reflecting who God is and teaching about wrong things about God, and they're domesticating God, and they're trying to fit God in their own box. And God says, I'm not happy with that. And I'm not only not happy about it, I'm going to crush you, but I'm also going to deal with the problem. Because I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you myself. And I'm going to make you walk in my own paths. I'm going to place in you a new heart that loves the Lord and seeks after the Lord. And not only that, but He's going to teach us. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. While these ain't the good old days are on the way. God Himself will proclaim the word of God to His people. Although the prophets do not preach according to what God has ordered them to preach, God promises. Not only am I not happy about that, not only am I going to deal with that, but out of Zion shall go forth the law. God promises. Out of Zion shall go forth the law. And what that means is the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, God has promised. Not only will He teach His people, not only will He cause them to walk in His paths, but He will also proclaim His words loud and clear. You want to lie on behalf of God? He's not happy with that. And we saw last week that the prophets are coming to an end. And not only are the prophets coming to an end, but But God himself will proclaim the law, will proclaim his word. And not only that, verse 3, he shall judge between many peoples. And he shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their... Here's the result, okay? So not only is verse 3a the truth, he shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. People of all nations are going to come to the Lord. And he himself is going to be their judge. We saw this in Matthew chapter 25 whenever Jesus says the final judgment is on the way. So God says these people aren't doing, the judicial judges, the judicial leaders of the day are not doing what I've told them to do, as we saw last week. They're ruling unjustly. They know the right thing, and they're leveraging their position for their own gain. And God says that's not what I called you to do, and I'm not happy with that. And not only am I not happy with that, but I'm going to deal with it. And he's going to deal with it because he's going to judge. Because he will be the judge between many peoples. And he shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And what's the result of that? Well, the strong nations far away, the all people, the many peoples, shall beat their swords into plowshares. So the weapons that were once dedicated for destruction will now be dedicated for life. A plowshare, something that you till up the ground with and something that you place your seed in and it yields fruit. So that which was dedicated for destruction will be reversed and be dedicated for life. Not only that, there's spears into pruning hooks. Again, same thing. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And I would argue this morning, while many concepts here in verse 1, 2, and 3 have come to pass, as Christians, we have seen the law, the word of the Lord go forth from Jerusalem in Christ. He is the Messiah. He came. The promised Savior came. We see that on the back end. We see that on the back end of Micah chapter 4, and on the back end of the coming and the dying and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, we see that. And not only has he proclaimed his law and the word of the Lord gone forth from Jerusalem, but as people that belong to him, he teaches us directly by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he causes us to walk in his ways by giving us a new heart, a heart that is soft to his word and soft to his commands. So I'd ask you this morning, is your heart soft to the Bible? Is your heart soft to the word of the Lord? Is your heart soft to his teachings? And not only his teachings, but his call for repentance, to lay your life down and to follow him to the self-crucifixion that it takes to follow Christ. Is your heart soft to that? Can you hear that? Or do you hear that and say, I'm good, not for me? Because if you say, I'm good, not for me, then you don't belong to him, brothers and sisters. Dear friend, you don't belong to the Lord. And so we see that. We've seen that kind of come into fruition. We've seen that as people that are on the backside of Micah 4, and we're on the backside of the coming of Christ. But yet, there's still something here that we haven't seen. We see that God will judge between many people. And then not only that, but the result of that judgment will be produced to look a certain way. It will be produced, or it will itself produce, that disputes will be settled with all justice. And that there will be no more war. There will be no more fighting. Those days ain't here, brothers and sisters. Turn on the news. And better yet, don't turn on the news. Just take my word for it. It's on the news. That day is not here yet. That day is on the way. But it ain't here yet. And the result, even verse 4, but they, the people that God will judge, the people that God will judge rightly, and their disputes will be settled rightly, the people that obey God, the people that love God, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So for those that are taught by the Lord, for those that love the Lord, for those that hear the decree of the Lord, the word of the Lord going forth from Jerusalem, for those that hear the word of repentance and repent, what's the result of the dispute that's been settled? Well, they'll sit, every man, under his vine and under his fig tree. And we can take that and run with it and say, Micah's saying, it's going to be good. It's going to be real good. The fruit will be yielded, and it's going to be real good. Prosperity, even. A great time, even. But brothers and sisters, that day ain't here yet. Make no mistake. That day is on the way. The people will be taken care of, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. And so as we come to our text this morning, I want you to just understand that the original audience of this book, this had to mean something. Because they didn't get the hindsight that we got. They don't get the hindsight of seeing the coming Messiah come and to live a perfect life under the law and die a crucifixion death, one that we deserve as sinners, and rise and ascend into heaven. They didn't see that. They don't know that. But what they do know is that this is good news. This is really, really good news. This is a promise to them that there is a day on the way, and that these days, they're not the good old days, but the good old days are coming. Verse 5, for all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God. But Micah says, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Though all the people walk in the name of their God, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Because the Lord our God is doing a new work. The Lord our God is doing a new work. Look to verse 6. In that day. What day? In the latter days. Declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away and those whom I have afflicted. And the lame I will make the remnant, and those who were cast off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. Well, brothers and sisters, God Himself promises that He will teach. God Himself promises that He will proclaim the Word of God. God Himself promises that He will judge. And He's going to do that for a specific people. For a specific people, the Lord God Almighty is doing a new work. Who are the superstars of this new assembly of people? He's creating a new nation, a strong nation, and they will reign, or the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. Who is going to be on this team? Who's going to be assembled, might you ask? The losers. The nobodies. The lame. Those who have been driven away, and those who have been afflicted, the lame will make up the remnant. What is the remnant? This is a reference back to chapter 2, verse 12, where God says, again, previously He said, I will surely assemble. all of you, O Jacob, I will gather the remnant of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture, a noisy multitude of men. And not only that, but he will reign over them. The king passes on before them, the Lord at their head. God Almighty says, in that day I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away. I will gather the afflicted and the lame. I will make them the remnant. I will make them the remnant. Those who were cast off, I will make them a strong nation. Why? Because they will be taught by the Lord. Because they will be the ones that hear the decree of the word of God coming from Jerusalem. And they will repent. They will turn from themselves. And they will turn to Him. They will not seek to reign over themselves, but they would seek the Lord God to reign over them. It's coming for them. And it's coming for us. The day is on the way, even. And I would argue that the remnant has already been begun to be gathered. Those of us who have turned from our sins and trusted in Christ, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, not many of you were wise, brothers and sisters. God didn't pick the cream of the crop to put His glory on display. He's picked the losers. He's picked people like you and people like me who are losers. And I'm not picking on you. But you're a nobody if you belong to the Lord. That's what your job description is. I come to the Lord with full dependence because I know that I'm nothing. And I need Him. I need Him to walk. I'm lame without Him. I cannot walk in my own strength. Oh Lord, I need You. That's what it means to be the lame. The spiritually bankrupt person that knows that it's not in their own strength and they need the Lord. Oh friends, this ain't the good old days. But ultimately, the good old days are on the way. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it shall come. The former dominion shall come. Kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. Here again we get a reference. Kingship, flock, a picture of the shepherd king that will make this possible. A picture of the shepherd king that will gather the remnant to himself, that his words will be the words of God, and that he will teach his people. The shepherd king is coming. And the shepherd king for us is coming again. These ain't the good old days, although they're better than what Micah's walking through. The good old days are coming. The good old days are coming, brothers and sisters. But they're not here yet. Verse 9. Now, so see the contrast between the good old days and then verse 9. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Of course there is. But he's not the king. He's not the shepherd king. Has your counselor perished? That pain seized you like a woman in labor. Therefore, writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you shall go out from the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. Things are going to get tough. Things are going to get bad. Things got tough and things got bad for the people in our text here this morning. That causes them to writhe and groan, to look forward to the day that is on the way. And God says, verse 10, there in Babylon, where you're going, make no mistake, there you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. There's a day on the way. There's a day on the way for Micah and the people of Judah, and there's a day on the way for us. Now, verse 11, now many nations are assembled against you, saying, let her be defiled, and let our eyes gaze upon Zion. Now is not the day that is on the way. Now is not a good time compared to what is coming. Now, Zion, Jerusalem, Judah, is going to be defiled, is going to be destroyed. Chapter 3, remember? Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins. And the temple will be destroyed. Now many nations are assembled. And you're going to reap your punishment. Verse 12, But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. Now's not a great time. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand His plan. And they certainly do not. They certainly do not understand His plan. So what's His plan? Oh God, what is Your plan? His plan in this time is to prune those who belong to Him, to correct and to be a judge and to send people into exile for punishment. But more than that, He's seeking to refine those who actually love Him and to get their attention. I am your God. And beyond this, what is God's plan? Beyond this text, as we read, they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand His plan. Well, brothers and sisters, the plan of God is that these people need a Savior. Is that these people need a better priest, a better prophet, a better judge. They desperately need one. They stand in the presence of a holy and perfect and righteous God, and they're sinners. Likewise, we are sinners. And we need the Lord God Almighty to act on our behalf. Otherwise, we'll be committed to destruction. We will be dedicated to destruction because we've earned it. Because we deserve it. Because it's a matter of what we get for our actions. It's our, as Romans 6:23 calls it, wages. It's what we earn. It's death. And not only death, but eternal death. That's what we deserve. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. Because while God is just, He's the just judge, He proves Himself to be the merciful and gracious God that He revealed Himself to be in Exodus 36. Because not only do I see my people standing beneath a debt that they do not, and that they're not capable of paying, God says, I will send my Son to live the life that I've called them to live, the life that they cannot live. And I'm going to atone for their sins in the death of my Son, who is the perfect one, who is the righteous one, who is the shepherd king. And it's only Him that can keep the law. And I will send Him. They do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand His plan. God's plan from the beginning was to send His Son to do what man could not do. So, oh man, why are you doing what you cannot do? Us who have seen the crucifixion and the resurrection, the ascension, we've heard. Only God can do what God has set out to do. And yet we try to keep it. Which is the problem of the people in Micah, which is our problem. Is it not? We still think that we can do it. We still want to do it. Because we don't want to learn from the Lord. We don't want to walk in His paths. We want to walk in our paths. And yet God promises for us, there's a plan. There's a plan that if we would turn from us, we would turn from trusting in us and turn to trust in Christ, that He would teach us and that we would walk in His paths and we would hear the proclamation going from Jerusalem, and that ultimately He would be our judge and that He would be our advocate. So what is the plan of the Lord? The plan of the Lord is that He would send His Son to buy back a people that are spiritually dependent, that are lame, the remnant, that desperately need God to act on their behalf. And more than that, not only to just clear the debt, but to call these people to Himself. That they would sit under their own fig tree. That they would sit with much fruit, with much yielded fruit, and enjoy the life that they've been called to live in the Lord. So are we doing that? Are we enjoying the life that we've been called to in the Lord by constant repentance and trust in Christ? That He would be your righteousness. Not that you would do enough or be enough in the presence of God, but that you would turn and point to Christ and say, He's done it all. And He's paid it all. That I would enjoy the presence of the Lord. They do not understand His plan. And yet, that's the here and now for today. But there's a day on the way for us, brothers and sisters. They do not understand His plan. The plan is for God to dwell with His people forever. And to be their God forever. And for the people to be His people forever. How this is our hope, brothers and sisters. Because the suffering in which we walk in this life produces endurance. It produces inability. As we draw upon the strength of the Lord, it produces endurance to continue in the suffering. And that endurance produces character. And that character, what it produces is hope in this. So do you have hope in the Lord? Because if you're not in Christ, you can't have hope in the Lord, because what you're going to experience is a judgment, but a just judgment. So you will either stand for yourself, you will allow Christ to stand for you. This is what we anticipate with great expectation. Continuing in verse 13. Sorry, I'll finish verse 12. They do not understand His plan that He has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. He has gathered God has gathered His enemies as sheaves to the threshing floor. It's like the grain, the wheat is on the threshing floor, and what they do is they typically bring in cows or oxen to crush it, to separate the fruit from the stem and the wheat, the weeds. And God says, He has gathered the enemies of Himself as sheaves to the threshing floor. Therefore, verse 13, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron. And I will make your hooves bronze. I will strengthen your hand. I will give you endurance. I will allow you to walk through this. And not only walk through this, but you will experience victory over your enemy. Oh brother, oh sister, oh friend, have you experienced victory over your enemy, sin and death? Because if you have not, it is only in faith and repentance in Christ in which you will. You shall beat in pieces many peoples and shall devote their gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth. And so now, chapter 5, verse 1, which I would argue goes with this text, is why we're preaching it here. Now, again, now, muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. Not the judge, but the king of Israel. They're coming now. Now they're coming. But take heart, because there's a day on the way in which the Lord will call you back to himself. So I tell you this morning, we walk through tribulation, we walk through suffering now. Even as people have been delivered to Christ, transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of light, we've been transferred. We've been called to walk in newness of life, and yet we walk in much suffering. And yet, these ain't the good old days. They're simply a taste of the good old days, brothers and sisters. But the good old days are on the way, in which God will bring us home, or he'll come back to get us, and that we will be his people, and that he will be our God. And this is an unshakable kingdom, as we've seen in Hebrews. Draw strength upon the promise of the Lord, because he who has promised is faithful. Pray with me. O Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is clear that there is a day on the way which we can look forward to. For those of us who are in Christ, who have repented of our sins and turned to trust in Christ, that day will be utter joy. And Father, we look forward to it with a great hope. Father, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray to you. Amen.